invite Jean to come up. So some of you might be thinking, this is not Andrew. Yes, it is not Andrew. It's Jean James. Andrew has been pinged by the wonderful NHS track and trace, so he's not able to join us this morning. However, we have Jean who is here to deliver the sermon. So can I just pray for you, Jean, as you do that? So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have appointed your daughter Jean this morning to be the one to deliver that service, the sermon. Father, before we even knew that Andrew would not be here, you knew that Andrew would not be here. But you were with Andrew in the preparation. So we pray this morning that the anointing which was on Andrew as he prepared this sermon, that would it be on your daughter Jean this morning as she delivers this sermon. So we give her to you and we thank you, Father. We come with expectant hearts, expectant to hear that which you have in store for us, because your word will not return to you void. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Praise God for computers and emails that work so that we are able to have this today. So our blessings and thoughts are with Andrew and Catherine this morning. So these are Andrew's words and thoughts and meditation. I wonder, do you recognize these words? Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong, was in the spring. And spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline, good times never seemed so good. I've been inclined to believe they never would. I bet you have that song tune in your mind for the rest of the day. I think we all know that this song is popular at football matches and was chosen to be played before and after some of England's wins over the past few weeks. I wonder why it has resonated at this time. Yes, the song is a love song, but it is more than that. It's a song about hope in the seasons changing. The spring becomes summer. It's a song about connection, reaching out, touching me, touching you. And it's about the change in circumstances. The good times never felt so good. Now, let me be clear, I am not usually a big football fan. In fact, I have never fully understood the rules. Just ask my sons. What I do know is that something has happened to the England team that I have not seen in my lifetime. Okay, I was born just before the last time England won a trophy, but I did not have a clue what was going on at the time. Something has been brewing since the last World Cup with the England side, and that continued with the Euros. Without doubt, England have been playing with more hope, and they have been playing with more connection as a team than for a long time. That's why the good time we had for a few weeks never felt so good. In our reading today, the people in Jerusalem were feeling that the good times had never felt so good. They had reached out to God and a revival had been stirred. And the winter that the nation of Israel had experienced for over 150 years had turned to spring and then to summer. And over the past number of weeks, we have heard how Nehemiah was called by God to bring honor to his people and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He inspired the people of Jerusalem to get into teams and to rebuild the walls. And a revival starts. The people call to hear the story of their ancestors, and they get reminded of the covenant love of their God and the commandments he gave them to live in his blessing. They remember the faithfulness of God, that God is earnest, as Rose reminded us last week. And the people's hearts are changed, and they decide to repent and to seek his forgiveness with sacrifices. And as we heard last week, the people decide to make a binding agreement with their God. This week, as we come close to the end of our time in Nehemiah, What is the reaction of the people in Jerusalem? It is exuberant, celebratory, sung worship to their God. Today's account vividly describes the preparation for this extraordinary dedication service for the completed walls of Jerusalem. So in today's account, we hear about the Levites being sought out. We hear that they get out their cymbals and harps and lyres. We hear musicians are gathered from around the region of Jerusalem. We even hear that musicians have built villages for themselves outside Jerusalem. We hear that the Levites, priests, and the people ceremonially clean themselves and the gates and the walls. And we hear that Nehemiah assembles two choirs to scale the walls and to lead the people in worship and thanksgiving. And after all their sung celebration, we hear that the people offer sacrifices as part of their worship. And as a result of this worship, we hear that the people give their first fruits and their tithes for the upkeep of the priests and Levites. Andrew says he senses there are three things that we can learn from today's reading, and they are gathering, exuberant worship, and offering to God. So let's start with gathering. And spring became the summer. This was a very pivotal time for the nation of Israel. The dwelling place of their God, Yahweh, and their holy city had been in tatters for over 100 years. Their reputation and the reputation of their mighty God was not what it had been. But God had been working in the background, changing the leadership of their captors, the Babylonians, to the Persians, who started to allow the Israelites to return to Jerusalem. It had not been a straightforward project, and over the next 100 years, the temple, and now the walls, and the worship life of Israel had been restored. We hear the people gather. The Levites and the priests are to lead the people with songs of thanksgiving, with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. Every musician in the local area is enlisted to help. They are preparing to make a great and loud sound. I know this may sound obvious, but we humans, are made to gather. And without doubt, probably the hardest thing we have had to deal with over the past year is not being able to gather properly together. So imagine what it was like for a people separated from their spiritual home for over 100 years. Imagine what it was like for Nehemiah seeing his own people reunited, reassembled, rebuilt, and rededicated. There was such a strong sense of the Spirit of God doing a new thing in the life of his people. The people are so hungry for the presence of God that the priests and Levites ceremonially purify themselves, and then they purify the people, the gates, and the walls. And that is exactly what we do when we come to worship. We have a time of confession. We come before God and we say, sorry. And because of what Jesus has done on the cross for each one of us, we are made clean. The Israelites had to go through a ceremony to purify themselves. But because of Jesus, we only have to confess our sins and say sorry, and we are forgiven and made clean. So that's our first point, gathering. Now let's think about this exuberant worship. Reaching out, touching out, touching me, touching you. Nehemiah wanted the people of Jerusalem, the Israelites, and the naysayers, and the enemies of Israel, to know that their God was on the move. Their God had brought them out of captivity. Their God had protected them, resourced them to rebuild the temple, and to rebuild the walls and gates of Jerusalem. This was to be a moment to mark in the life of God's people, and Nehemiah was determined to mark it like no other. So he commissioned not just one, but two large choirs to scale the walls and offer worship and thanksgiving to God. I can only imagine there were literally thousands of people on the walls that day. And here again, this is very personal to Andrew. One of the cultural blessings I received when I married Catherine was being taken to the Messiah from scratch, which happens in December each year at the Albert Hall. Around 3,000 singers come together to take part in Handel's Messiah. And the singers spend most of the day rehearsing and preparing to sing, and then the rather modest audience of about 2,000 come to hear the performance that evening. Well, can you imagine 3,000 people singing, King of Kings, forever and ever, hallelujah, hallelujah, and Lord of Lords, forever and ever, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it just about blows your socks off. Can we imagine what the celebration will be like when England win a major tournament? We can only imagine the sound of the choirs and the celebration in Nehemiah's day. The celebration continues as we hear they move to the house of God, the temple, and we hear that on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. And we hear the sound was so great that the sound of rejoicing could be heard far away. So that's point two, exuberant worship, reaching out, touching me, touching you. And what was the response of the people after all this gathering and exuberant worship and thanksgiving? Well, the people gave an offering to God. Can I say, because the good times never seemed so good? Because there had been this great spiritual revival in the life of the Israelites. They had remembered the blessing and covenant love of their God, and they had remembered his mighty acts. And now through them, God had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. They had recommitted themselves to following his law and commandments. And part of their worship was to give contributions, first fruits and tithes to God. We hear men are put in charge of storerooms, and people bring their gifts for the ministry of the priests and the Levites. Maybe as we reflect on what God has done for each of us in the past year, as he has been with us, as he has given us technology to stay connected during the pandemic in ways we could never have accessed to say 20 or even 10 years ago, so maybe today is a good time to review our giving to God here at Pip and Jim's. I can say that in my moving to serve here at Pip and Jim's, it has enabled me to review my giving. The Israelites had a tradition of giving 10% of their income to God. But as New Covenant people, we are not restricted by law. It says this in 2 Corinthians 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And so our reading ends telling us that in the times of Nehemiah, all Israel contributed to the daily portions for the ministry of the priests and the Levites. And if you want more information on giving to Pip and Jim's, then please look at our website. So today we have thought about how the people of Jerusalem celebrated how God had restarted their city and restored it, but also their spiritual, worship and sacrificial lives, and they did this by gathering. And spring became the summer. By exuberant worship, reaching out, touching me, touching you, and offering to God, good times never seemed so good. So let us pause and reflect on what God has been saying to us today through this wonderful book of Nehemiah. Amen.